This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
If you begin to look at the movement of those words, the power is in the placing of the words. Because if I said proud, death, be, mighty, not, it loses all of its meaning. And so language becomes meaningful when words are put into their proper places. And the more appropriate the words are in those places, the more powerful the impact those words have on the human heart. The same is true for the world itself. The more things are in a natural state, the more powerful the experience. And that's why everybody, and Robert Frost has a beautiful poem about people looking out at the ocean, even though what's behind them, which is land, is much more varied and interesting. Why do they keep staring out at the ocean and not turn around and look at the land? There's a lot more to look at. And it's the mystery of it. It's the majesty of it. It's the power of creation itself. And the ocean is one of the most powerful things in the world. That's why the Arabs, when they want to talk about something vast, they say, huwa bahrun. It's an ocean. It's an ocean. Al-Quran, bahrun. La sahila lah. You know, the Arabs will say, the Quran is an ocean. There's no shores to that ocean. A shoreless ocean. You can't even imagine that. A shoreless ocean. So doing good in the world is beautifying the world. That's what you're doing, and that's what that's about. So he asks him, tell me about what beautiful... And he says, doing beautiful means you should worship God as if you see him. Now, just if you think about what that means is, if you can imagine that you actually are seeing God, how would you behave in the world? How would you treat other people, other creatures of God? How would you treat God's creation? If you go to somebody's house, you don't spit on their carpet. You don't urinate in the corner of the room. You do, why? Because it's not your house. And you have to behave with proper comportment in the house. And the better behavior that you have, the more likely that he'll invite you back. So the idea of being in the world as if you see God is the idea that you are a guest in a dominion that belongs to God. And that if you actually behave in the world as if you see him, you will behave appropriately. You will behave with excellent manners. You will behave beautifully. And that's at the essence of ihsan. And then he says, and even if you don't see him, at least you know that he sees you. So the highest stage of ihsan is really to be as if you see God. But if you don't, at least you know he sees you, so that your behavior is still appropriate. And then he says, tell me about the hour. And the Prophet ﷺ said, the one being questioned does not know more than the one asking the question. In other words, the moment that the world ends is a secret. And so he says, then tell me about its amarat, its signs, its marks. So this is the signs of the latter days. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the slave girl gives birth to her mistress. Now the ulama have always considered this a very unusual statement, but the ulama have gone into three dominant interpretations. One of them is that it is the turning upside down of social order. That right becomes wrong, wrong becomes right, high people become low, low people become high, that this is what happens. And so the idea of a mistress giving birth to a slave, if you invert that, it's the amma, al-amatu taridu rabbataha. All right, the servant gives birth to her master. It's an inversion of reality. It's what's called qalb al-haqa'iq. So you see the slave girl give birth to her mistress. One of the interpretations also is that it means children will become completely rebellious against their parents, which in Confucian understanding is the worst possible sign in a human society when filial piety no longer exists. Because the whole social order is based on the authority of the family. And the thing about families are not just. Children are in a despotic situation. Parents are tyrants, basically. But what the ethicists say is that justice is only necessary in the absence of love. So the reason that we tolerate family situations is because of that other element that exists, which is love. In other words, we know that the parent is doing what they do out of love for the child. So when the parent doesn't allow the child to eat what's harmful, candy or whatever, or doesn't allow the child to watch television, or doesn't allow, these are apparently arbitrary moves on behalf of the parent to the child. So the child experiences it as really a type of tyranny. And I always love the one where the child's like crawling and the parent comes and just picks it up and goes another direction. I mean, if you just look at a total act of despotism, I mean, that is a real act of arbitrary, despotic behavior. But obviously, there's a reason, and that's why it's not tyrannical. It's on the contrary. It's benevolent. So, and then the man went away, and after we had waited, Labistu Maliya, you know, he says we waited a time. Some say it was 3 days. It was a period of time. At which point, the Prophet ﷺ said, do you know who the questioner was, Omar? It's interesting, he waited a few days. He said, do you know who that questioner was? And this was also a sign that the Sahaba didn't ask the Prophet unnecessary questions. Because you would think Omar would have said, who was that, Ya Rasulullah? But they weren't like that. They were people that just, they asked what was absolutely necessary to ask. The Prophet ﷺ said, this was Jibril who has come to teach you your religion. هذا جبريل أتاكم يعلمكم دينكم. The meaning of that is that this hadith teaches us the religion. That's the whole religion right there. Iman, Islam, Ihsan, and signs of the last day. And I think it's a really interesting way of looking at it. The way that Dr. Chittick and Dr. Murata are looking at it, as these are dimensions. You have in four-dimensional reality, which is what we're in, you have the three dimensions of width, breadth, and depth. And that's what we experience here if you're binocular vision. One-eyed people don't have that depth perception, but we have depth perception. And if you add time, which is the fourth dimension, then what this hadith deals with is these four dimensions. The dimension that is the horizontal dimension is Islam. That is the most basic. That's the foundation. The vertical dimension is Iman or faith, because that's the focus towards the heavens. So your behavior is Islam. The reason you do the behavior is Iman. And then Ihsan is what gives it depth. It's what gives it depth. It adds that dimension to it. And then it plays out in time. So we're in time creatures. And one of the things we experience about time is signs. The world is signs. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, "Az-zaman yomani, yomun laka wa yomun alik." All of time is 2 days. A day for you, a day against you. And he says, "Fashkuri la lima kana lak, wasbir ala ma kana alik." Have thankfulness or gratitude towards Allah for what was for you and be patient about what is against you. And so the basic experience of the movement of time is a recognition that there are signs that come into the world that indicate the type or the nature of the age that we're in. And certainly our age is in many ways a very dark age because people are so distant from sacred truths and also have an arrogance that obviously that this is the best time ever. The next idea here is deen, because he said, يُعَلِّمُكُمْ دِينُكُمْ. He came to teach you your deen. What does deen mean? The Arabic word comes from a root word, dana yadino, means to discipline. It has the meaning of to discipline. It has the meaning of to consider guilty. Idana is when somebody is guilty of something. It has also the idea of a debt, indebtedness. Dain is debt. Medin is somebody who's in debt. Da'in is the one you owe the debt to. It also has the meaning of a rain, a gentle rain that keeps coming back. And the religion, at the essence of religion, is an idea that this is it is a rain. It's a life-giving rain to the spirit that keeps coming back. It's something that keeps coming back and is reintroduced into humanity again and again. So at the essence of the human experience has been these rains that have come, revelations that have come, heavenly rains that nurture hearts, that bring people back to life, that bring their lives to a spiritual fruition. The idea also of debt, which is also interesting, because there's an idea that if somebody loans you money, you feel indebted to them. And the idea here is that God has loaned you your life. It's a loan. And the beauty of a loan is it's not yours, but while you have it, you can do with it what you want. Now, obviously, if somebody loans you money with a stipulation, if you go to the bank and you tell them, I want $100,000 to buy a house, and then you go and score a kilo of cocaine with the money, obviously you've broken the contract. They wouldn't just give it to you like that. They don't do it like that anymore. But generally, the idea of taking a loan as a trust, there's a reason why that person's giving you a loan. And generally, people want to know what the loan is for. They ask you, what do you need it for? Well, I need it for this or that. The more honorable the reason, the more likely for the loan. So the idea of God giving you a loan, a goodly loan, it's the loan of your life. And then the beauty of it is, on the one hand, it is a loan. On the other hand, he offers the chance to sell this thing that he's given you back to him. And that is an honoring, according to the Quran. It's in Allah ashtara min al-mu'minin. Allah bought from the believers. So the idea of God buying from you something is meaning that he's putting you, there's parity in the relationship. It's not that you're an equal to God, but in this relationship, he's making you an equal. He's making you somebody who's actually gone into a transaction with him. And the sale is your soul. And that is a high thing. So the idea of giving the soul back to God, and he pays you for it. And that's why when that verse was revealed, everybody was happy except Abu Bakr. He began to weep. And the Prophet ﷺ looked at him and he said, why are you weeping? And he said,